And for me, Todd, the tribe has spoken. This is the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast as we move into week 7. I was asked recently, hey, Todd, if you happen to get eliminated, will you continue doing the podcast? Yeah, you're right. So thanks for listening, everybody. Oh, no, we're going to continue doing the podcast. This is fun. And this is, I can't say anything. This is like Jerry Seinfeld talking about recently during a stand-up, I think it was in Boston, about the finale, and he just said, what I can't tell you most, but what I can tell you is, me doing this podcast this year is part of a bigger potential project for me. And there's only one other person who listens to this podcast who has any idea what I'm talking about. So I continue to do this podcast this season. If Brandon Legal Group is happy with it and me, I promise you next season of this podcast and maybe something more. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is generously presented. You listen to all my podcasts for free and play in all my fantasy football leagues for free because of sponsors. That's why I get mad when people criticize how I take a few minutes off the top of my podcast to talk about my sponsors, because that's how you get all the content you want, the rest of the podcast, for free. Brandon Legal Group pays for this podcast exclusively. They are your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area, and they want to inform or remind adult divorced males in the state of Florida who have been paying permanent alimony that as of July 1st, 2023, permanent alimony has been eliminated from Florida law. However, you need to contact Brandon Legal Group to stop paying permanent alimony. They can help you with this, guys. You want to stop writing the checks? You want to lower the checks you are writing? Lessen the frequency of those checks? BrandonLegalGroup.com. Click on the box for a free consultation or call 813-902-3576. Florida men, stop paying permanent alimony. Contact Brandon Legal Group to help you do so. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. I got an email kind of late Saturday night. For some reason, I've been getting up much earlier than expected, which means I've been going to bed much earlier than expected. It's not like me. So I didn't respond to this gentleman's email. He's from Southwest Florida, lives in a community that has a golf course that I want to play, not far from where I've hosted one official and one unofficial Todd Wright Tour golf event, the property where I have hosted, and Jim Hafner is very friendly to me, running the show at River Hall in Alva, a little north, a little east of Fort Myers, and a great track that drains very well. Oh, those are so nice to find in the state of Florida. So the gentleman that emailed me was talking about some of his Survivor plays and how many entries he had, and we were kind of on the same page going into week 6, and there is no 7th chapter for us. And I believe he probably lost one more based on the Niners going down at Cleveland. Again, it had been a pretty quiet week 4, week 5. Week 3 was volatile. Week 4, not. Week 5, not. Week 6, I know in my league where we were down to about 1/3 of the original entries, and I was one of those 1/3, 12% were on Philadelphia in week 6, including me, including the gentleman who emailed me, who's not in my pool, not as far as I know, he might be. go out with the Eagles. And over 50% in my league were on Buffalo and fortunate to be alive going into week 7. Wow. Niners loss at Cleveland is not as much damage because so many survivors had already played them earlier in the year. But then you factor in a Debo injury, a McCaffrey injury, an underrated Browns defense that is setting NFL records. And despite no Deshaun Watson, the Browns pull off a win at home against the 49ers, which cost some, saying circa. I was very interested also. I informed Gil Alexander of VEASAN, self-proclaimed survivor obsessed, after I think it was week 2, that there was a regional bias in the circa survivor contest because there were way too many people playing the Broncos in week 2, even off of what a 1-point loss in the opener against the Raiders. And it just felt like that was more regional, that people had formed an opinion, a stronger opinion out west on playing the Broncos in week 2 off a loss. And I saw that again this week with roughly, 40% of the remaining entries at circa on the Rams, who, as we talked about in last week's podcast, I identified a number of teams that I thought about playing in week 6. I just played the wrong one. Gil agreed with me. Gil thought of my remaining teams, the Eagles were the way to go. They weren't. But the Rams were on his list. The Rams were on my list. The Raiders were on my list. They weren't on his list. Who else did he have? I seriously considered just popping in the pick before 9:30 a.m. Eastern time and going with the Ravens for a lot of the reasons Warren Sharp had identified, their travel, ability to bounce back. Suddenly, someone reminded John Harbaugh he has Matt Stover on his roster, because through the first 5 weeks, I don't know that Harbaugh knew that Stover was still on the team. I guess he thought they cut him. So they used him. He didn't let him down. Ravens controlled Derrick Henry. You know, Lamar Jackson's one playoff win is against Ryan Tannehill. So I will regret not playing the Ravens or not playing the Rams or not playing the Raiders as an anti-Patriots pick. But I go down, like others, with the Philadelphia Eagles. And the good part for me is one of my better friends is a Philadelphia Eagles fan, so I can hold this over his head until next year that his team cost me in Survivor. Let's talk about week 7. Now, before we even look at the numbers, the early numbers, and this is even before we get the Chargers-Cowboys game. I wanted to get on this early this week, so this is updated via Patrick Everson, senior sports betting reporter, VegasInsider.com, NFL odds week 7, the spreads and money lines that I quote you. Always a good follow on Twitter X is Patrick Everson of VegasInsider.com. My early August research had one game fly off the page as a game to consider and a good spot to use a particular team, and that was Seattle in week 7 against the Cardinals. So let's start there. Early in week 7, we show them as a -360 money line and a 7.5-point choice off a loss. They don't lose often in the Eastern time zone. Seahawks now 16-5 straight up in their last 21 games in the Eastern time zone, in a game they probably feel like they should have won. And even Joe Burrow was asked afterwards, and he said, "I'm not going to apologize for a win." The Bengals will take wins any way they can get them right now. That's a good win. They didn't look great doing it, but they beat a very good team and held off Seattle to get a necessary win if the Bengals are serious about making the playoffs this year. So you've got an angry Seahawks team coming back home. The red flag is the division opponent. And at this point, the Cardinals didn't really compete against the Rams. They didn't. Probably their worst game of the year. Yeah, they gagged the second half against the Giants. But for 60 minutes, this was probably their worst game of the year. And we had even mentioned in the gentleman who emailed me from Southwest Florida when we were talking about Cardinals-Rams last week, how the Cardinals get credit for competing, but they've only won one game. Okay, now they haven't competed in the most recent game, and they've still only won one game through 6 weeks. No James Conner. Marquise Brown played wasn't much of a factor. Yeah, the Rams beat the Seahawks earlier this year, but at this point, the sight test tells us the Seahawks are better than the Rams. So the only red flag here is there something health-wise this week that's going to give us cause for pause on using Seattle, who most probably haven't used? That's why I think Seattle is going to be a very popular play this week, because the most use of Seattle this year was week one, and they lost to the Rams. So those who use Seattle were out week one. I would imagine most in survivor pools have the Seahawks to use this week. And we get back to that anti-Arizona. Arizona off a bad game. Seattle angry off their loss to Cincinnati. Arizona with no James Conner. Yeah, I think Seattle's a very strong play in week seven, and I might have just gone by the book to use them this week. Other big spreads as of Monday morning in week seven, and there aren't, I don't see any double-digit spreads as of Monday morning. So Seattle laying 7.5 is one of the biggest ones. The Monday night game between the 49ers and the Vikings, as of Monday morning, the Vikings are getting 7 at home against the Niners. Keep checking status on McCaffrey. Keep checking status on Samuel for obvious reasons here. But I don't imagine most of you in survivor pools have the Niners left, or you're out. I mean, just based on what I saw and how few people were victimized by the Niners in week six. And if you were, you're out with that entry. So I don't think there's a lot of play on Monday night for the Niners, because you've already used them, or last week you just went out with them as they stopped their undefeated run in the same day as the Philadelphia Eagles. So the other spread, okay, so the Bills are 9-point favorites at New England. I would imagine most have used Buffalo. I used them in week two in a bounce back. They had another obvious spot, either week three, week four, not the Dolphins game. Was that week three or was that week four? And then at least in my pool, over half the survivors had them barely advancing past the New York Giants in a horribly played, very exciting Sunday night game. So I don't imagine, it's funny, you know, we're reaching that point of the year where some of the bigger favorites are just not available to you, or you're out of the pool entirely because of that big favorite failing you. The Bills didn't fail. They failed some people who picked them week one against the Jets. I remember that. I don't think it was significant as significant as the Vikings or the Seahawks losing in week one, but I think it was top three. And is there any other? Those are the touchdown and higher spreads, just those three games So I think, again, that makes Seattle pop even more as the right survivor play in week 7. Let's dive deeper and let's look for favorites of – oh, I want to talk about home field advantage first. So part of the reason – and I was victimized by the Eagles on the road who had – I never knew this – never, ever lost to the Jets. Never, ever. Never have I ever. And it's a road trip that's not much of a road trip for the Eagles, and they make it every year. They were using the same locker room that they use when they play the Giants. And they would have a number of fans there. Didn't work. What validated me making the rare move of picking a road team, which I now regret, was that road teams, if you take out the London games, which we're done with now, in a couple weeks we'll start the German games, road teams were winning at a higher clip than home teams this year. And then Niners lose on road, Eagles lose on road. Yeah. That's sports. Okay, so Chiefs are a minus 240 money line at home against the Chargers. I don't imagine many have the Chiefs still to play. I would imagine the last of that was Thursday night against the awful Broncos, and the Chiefs didn't look great. What was it, 19-8? It was a lot of Harrison Butker. So I don't see the Chiefs as a high percentage play this week. Against the Chargers, Chargers coming off a Monday night game. Filter in your news accordingly off that Monday night game. And the only other number, there's no other number higher than 3 on Monday morning. So you've got a lot of even games. Bears are a 3-point underdog at home to Las Vegas. Check Justin Fields' status. Rams are a 3-point favorite at home against Steelers. Steelers are off a bye, aren't they? Yeah. That may be another one of those games that Mike Tomlin just finds a way to win, even though he's a plus 146 underdog going cross country. Everything else is under 3 points. I'm trying to find you another option. I mean, Lions are a 2.5-point underdog at Baltimore. That doesn't feel like a game you can look at either way, barring some drastic news. Buccaneers are home against the Falcons. I'm not sure there's too much difference between those two teams. Saints are at home on Thursday night against the Jaguars. Jaguars are a slight favorite. Commanders at Giants, that's a divisional game. Broncos host Packers. Packers are favored. But boy, Packers offense looked awful last time we saw them. Against Las Vegas, then they go home, and now they're going back out west and seeing if they can play better against a horrible Bronco defense. So I'm just theorizing at this point. The percentage that will be on Seattle will be very, very significant this week, and I don't really know what the next best play is. Considering most people have probably burned the Bills, the Niners, and the Chiefs, who are all 6-point favorites or larger. A lot of other even games. Average teams against average teams, bad teams against bad teams, and then Ravens-Lions, which is good team against good team. I would have in August and still would be one of those on Seattle this week. And I would imagine the percentage will be very high. So if you're going with an alternate and you got a strong feeling on another game and you think Arizona has a chance. If Seattle loses in week 7, I would imagine it will do major damage to remaining survivors going ahead to week 8. So there's your decision. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast, this is fun, is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Men in the state of Florida, if you have been paying permanent alimony, why can't I say that? Well, I don't want you to do it. Get in touch with Brandon Legal Group. Get in front of a judge. You will stop paying permanent alimony. It is no longer a part of Florida law as of July 1st, 2023. Call for a free consultation, 813-902-3576, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Good luck. We'll talk to you in week 8.